We're joined in studio now by Tánaiste and Minister for Enterprise, Trade and Employment, Leo Varadkar, to talk about some of the measures announced in yesterday's budget. Tánaiste, good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Morning.
The economist Colin McCarthy said yesterday that the budget was a bit like waking up on Christmas morning and finding that there were a lot of little presents under the tree, but there wasn't very much in any of them. Nobody's going to be very much better off because of the budget yesterday, are they?
Well, I think most people will be better off, whether it's as a consequence of the income tax package or the welfare package or many of the different measures that exist there in terms of healthcare and childcare. But I think fundamentally it was about four things. First of all, putting the public finances back in order, which is crucially important. It was about helping in some way anyway with the rising cost of living, and it's certainly done that. It was about investment in public services and also about throwing a lifeline to businesses that need it. So, you know, no one budget can solve every problem that the country faces. It's only a day's work, but I think it was a good day's work.
But you said yourself yesterday that you couldn't be certain that this budget would be enough to compensate people for the rising cost of living. I mean, for example, the minimum wage increase by 30 cent, that will be instantly wiped out by inflation, and that's not really an increase there at all, is it?
Well, the minimum wage increase is 30 cents an hour. It'll start on the 1st of January and was recommended by the Low Pay Commission. At the moment, inflation is running at about 2.8%. We project inflation for next year to be about 2.25%. So it would certainly ensure that wages keep up with inflation. But, you know, I think with any budget package, you can't just, it's very easy to zero in on one measure and say it's not enough. I think you have to look at it in the round. And, you know, say, for example, somebody on the minimum wage is going to receive an increase in their pay, but they'll also receive a bit of help in terms of the USE threshold being changed. Potentially, you know, their kid might receive an increase in the childcare subsidy. If they've a young adult going to college, might receive an increase in terms of the student grant. Might benefit, for example, from the extension of medical cards or the reduction in prescription fees. So I think if you take it all in the round, it will make a difference, at least in terms of the struggle to meet the rising cost of living, which is such a real thing for so many families.
It is. Now, you announced yesterday as well a new tax break for remote working. Earlier in the programme, we heard from a CIPD, that's the professional body for HR professionals, and they're saying that that could be worth as little as €50 per year to remote workers. Given what we know about the cost of light and heat increasing dramatically, it's not very ambitious, is it? It doesn't send out a great signal that you want to promote working from home and remote working.
Well, you know, it is an existing tax break and we're retaining it and we're trebling it, which isn't a small thing. So essentially, if you're working from home, you can take 30% of your utility bills, that's broadband, electricity and heat, and you can claim 30% of that against tax. Now, of course, it depends on how many days a week you're working from home. We anticipate the average claim is going to be about €250. You'd claim 40% of that back. Yeah. And that's for somebody working at home 2 days a week. But obviously for somebody working at home 5 days a week, it'd be more than double that. But, you know, it's not insignificant. There's also the per diem. Your employer can give you €3.20 a day, and that's tax-free. But, you know, I think like a lot of things, it's not designed to make, necessary to make working from home financially attractive. It's just designed to help you to meet the cost and defray the cost of doing so. And if you think about it, during the pandemic, people had to work from home. You know, it was the rule, if you like. We're moving into a new phase post-pandemic where it's going to be a choice, and we want to be a choice for as many people as possible. And this is just a little way of helping.
Why is there no relief in this budget for renters?
Well, you know, I think you need to bear in mind two things. First of all, we've brought in a rent freeze in real terms. Next year, rents can't increase by more than the rate of inflation. And one thing we decided to do in the budget was to keep in place the Help to Buy scheme. And a lot of renters want to buy. They don't want to rent for life. They want to own their own home. And the Help to Buy scheme could be worth 20, 30,000 euros to them. And I think that is significant that's been retained. The opposition parties want to get rid of that. They want to give you a rent tax credit worth maybe 1,000 euros a year on the one hand. They want to take away the Help to Buy worth 20,000 on the other hand. But, you know, I think one thing
there's not a single measure in the budget, is there, that will actually lower the cost of rent for somebody currently renting? renting next year?
No, there's not. And that's something we had to give consideration to. And we did give consideration. So if you think about it, the housing crisis affects people in different ways. For some people, it's the cost of rent, struggling to pay that. For some people, it's the cost of the mortgage, struggling to pay that. For some people, many still living at home with their parents, it's struggling to save money to raise a deposit. And a particular rent tax credit proposed by the opposition would only help people, those people who are struggling to pay the rent. We want to do something that would help all workers. And that's why we brought in the indexation of tax bans and tax credits.
Okay, but there is a growing portion of the population who are renting and who are looking for action on rents. And there seems to be a little urgency on doing anything to help those people because, I mean, even politically, it would seem foolish not to cater for a voter base which is growing and which will look for alternatives if their needs aren't being met by the government.
There are three things. There's the rent freeze in real terms brought in a few weeks ago, making sure the rents don't increase by more than the rate of inflation. There's the Help to Buy scheme. The opposition wanted to scrap that. We're keeping that in place. We'll help renters raise the deposit they need so they don't have to rent for life and they can buy a home, and home ownership is our ambition for everyone. And then thirdly, there is the income tax measures, the reduction in income tax by indexing bans and credits. That's worth about €400 to the average person, €800 to the average couple working full time. But instead of just giving that to people who are renting, which is what Sinn Féin, the opposition, proposed, we're giving it to people who are paying the mortgage because that's expensive too, struggling with the cost of childcare, or potentially people who are at home.
Core of the criticism of this budget that it is that you have spread everything, you've spread the goodies too thinly?
That's a criticism, but I think that's not a fair criticism because, you know, the alternative argument would be you only provided tax relief for some people and not for others. And what we've tried to do in this budget really is the four things I mentioned at the start, to get the public finances back under order, to help out those struggling businesses and help with the cost of living.
Can I ask you about the zoned land tax? It's a 3% tax on zoned land. How is it different from the vacant site tax levy?
Okay, so the vacant site tax levy, first of all, applies to vacant sites. There's only a couple of hundred of them around the country. The ZLT, this new zone land tax, is something fundamentally different. We think it's going to apply to about half of all zone land in the country, maybe 8,000 hectares. So this is a really extensive measure. And what we're saying to people and companies that own zoned land that could be developed for housing, for example, we're saying to them, you're on notice. You have 2 years now to get planning permission on that land, to get building on the land if you have planning permission. And if you don't do that, you're going to face a tax, and that tax will impact on the profits you'd make.
It's 3%. The vacant site levy was set at 7%. It's actually a tax cut for land hoarders, isn't it?
No, because for landowners that are currently paying the derelict site tax, which is a different tax, it'll continue at 7%. This is a new tax imposed on landowners that currently pay no tax on their land. So they're going to go from 0 to 3. And, bear in mind, the purpose of this tax is not to raise money. It's to send out a very clear message to landowners that if you're sitting on zoned land, if that land is serviced, if you could build housing on it, well, you need to. And if you don't, we're going to seriously impact and eat into the profit margin that you thought you were going to get.
Yes,
and
but they'll still make profits, won't they? Because the cost of land is rising by more than 3% annually. Hmm. So it isn't much of an incentive, is it, if you set the tax rate so low?
Well, bear in mind, it's 3% a year. So if somebody sat on development land for 3 years, that's 9%. The profit margin that you thought you were going to get by building 20 houses on that land is going to be seriously diminished. It depends on the land, of course, but, you know, the profit margin that you thought you were going to get is going to be seriously diminished. We would anticipate that with this tax now being very signaled clearly in this budget, that it sends out the message to landowners, get the planning permission, get building. If you don't, you're going to see your profits eroded through this tax. And if needs be, we can increase it.
In 2019, Fine Gael said it would provide free GP care to all under 10s by the end of 2021. Yesterday, you announced that there would be free GP care for under 8s next year. When will that measure start? And isn't the fact that it's under 8s and not under 10s an acknowledgement that you haven't been able to keep your promises?
Well, I guess this year we have to do it because you're right to say that this has been announced before and hasn't been implemented. You know, I was the Minister for Health that brought in the free GP care for the under 6s. Please, we were able to do that. We haven't been able to make a huge amount of progress on that matter since. But what we're doing is we're saying to GPs that we're going to increase it for another 2 years for children who are age 6 and 7, and we're going to pay the same fee as the under 5s, which actually is quite a substantial fee. And we think, or at least we hope, that'll be enough to get them on board. And there had been opposition to it before, but we think with that very fair fee, that we'll be able to do it. And then next year, we'll then add another 2 years. But also, there are other measures in the budget that we shouldn't forget in health as well. The DPS, the amount you pay for medicines, that's going down. So no household will pay more than €100 a month for medicine. That's come down substantially from where it was before. There's also a measure in there to reduce or even eliminate prescription charges for children. So, you know, this is very much launch a care in action.
There's also to be free contraception for women aged between 17 and 25. Why is there no comparable scheme for young men? Is the government saying that the burden of avoiding an unwanted pregnancy should fall exclusively on women?
No, we have extensive programs already that offer free condoms. Quite a lot of money is put by the HSE into that, so they're readily available.
Not on a scale like this, though.
I think it's a pretty big scale, and scale that we've had for quite some time, offering free barrier contraception, particularly in college campuses. This is part of a women's health package. One element of it, as you mentioned, is free contraception for women under 25. That's going to be introduced during the summer. There's also actions around period poverty, which is particularly important too, and investment in the national maternity strategy. So, you know, I'd hope people would see that as a positive investment for in terms of women's health.
All right, just finally and briefly, Tánaiste, if you would, Dominic Cummings, Boris Johnson's former advisor, has said that the UK government never intended to stick with the Brexit deal that it negotiated with you, they did that negotiation, they made those promises to win an election and intended to ditch bits of it afterwards. And that's what we are... That's what we are seeing with David Frost yesterday. In the context of what David Frost said about scrapping the Northern Ireland Protocol, can the UK government be trusted on Brexit now?
I've seen those comments. I hope Dominic Cummings is speaking for himself and not for the British government. But those comments are very alarming, because that would indicate that this is a government administration that acted in bad faith. And that message needs to be heard around the world, because if the British government doesn't honour its agreements, doesn't adhere to treaties it signs, that must apply to everyone else too. So at the moment, they're going around the world, they're trying to negotiate new trade agreements. Surely the message must go out to all countries around the world that this is a British government that doesn't necessarily keep its word, doesn't necessarily honour the agreements it makes, and you shouldn't make any agreement with them until such a time as you're confident that they keep their promises and honour things, for example, like the protocol.
Tánaiste Leo-Varadkar, thank you very much indeed for coming to talk to us today.